Well, I don't think this is going to apply much this morning, but if I am, with my weak eyesight, missing any visitors we have here this morning, welcome to Lake Country Bible Church. We're thrilled to have everybody here this morning. We're thrilled to be here praising God. And just if you are a visitor, fill out a form that's in the pouch in the pocket right there in front of you and put it in the basket by the door on your way out. And meanwhile, let's just continue to praise God. Terry.
Morning, folks. I want to thank everybody for the prayers and everything for my back. It's getting better. Still tender, but I appreciate all your prayers ahead of time. Our announcements this morning, as usual, we have a prayer meeting every Sunday, 9 a.m. in the room right over here. Everybody is welcome to come to that. Please do. Women's Bible study, 6:30 to 8 p.m. on Tuesday nights. Right. Yep. Miss Terry Buckler is going to be teaching. She's running through, the 2 Samuel right now. Okay, she's done, went through 2 Samuel, and she's moving to 1 Kings now. Correction. Wednesday night service, prayer and Bible study. It starts at 6 p.m. Everybody's invited to that one. Women's brunch on May 18th. There's a women's brunch at Brenda Smith's home. All women are invited. You're invited to bring friends. There's a sign-up list back in the foyer to be able to sign up for that. Please do if you're going to, so they know how many it is coming. The Kindness Cottage food donation is upon us. Anybody that wants to donate, there's a table back there. Even if it's not a donation time and it's a dried good, throw it on the table. The ladies will get it. They know what it's for. Okay, anytime you have some extra stuff, shove it on the table. As long as it's not perishable, it'll be used. The men's prayer breakfast, it's been changed. Normally it's Friday at the Red Dome. But the men's prayer breakfast has now been changed. We're going to do it Saturday in the fellowship hall. And one of our ladies in here, Miss Pat, has kindly said that she would cook for us men. We definitely appreciate that. And if y'all's ladies want to help out, I'm sure she can give y'all. If she might need some help, just let her. If you can ask her. Again, there is a sign-up sheet back in the foyer for men's breakfast. Please do that. If you think your husband's going to come, let men know so we can get that on there, because that way she gets an idea of how much food she has to cook. Because, you know, when I was a kid growing up, I figured out that anything that was on the plate had to be eaten. Don't make me eat too much food, ladies. Get the man up here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you so very much, as always, for giving us this great country. You made it happen. You put us in this particular place. You gave us the freedom, and you gave us a place to show your freedom that you have, that we have in you. Father, we are not good stewards of that. We have squandered things that you've given us, and we continue to squander the grace that is thrown upon us, Father. We're not the perfect people that people think we are. We are flawed sinners just like anybody else. We just have the grace of God working for us. Father, we thank you so very much for the finished work of the cross. We thank you so very much for the price that Jesus Christ paid so that we could be saved, that we could be free from that sin that's in our nature. Father, we ask that as we walk through our day, as you give us the ability, don't let us be like Jonah, who ran from you because you gave him a job to go to Nineveh. We pray that you would give us not the ability, and I know you already have given each one of us the ability that we need, but we pray that you would give us the understanding and the the want, the drive to fulfill the obligation and duty that we have to you as our Savior and the person that died for us on the cross, that you took your death upon us so that we may take your life, you took our death upon you that we may take your life upon us. And Father, I thank you for this, and I pray that we might be that shining beacon on the hill and show forth your grace in everything we do. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our reading today will be chapter 6 of Romans. Last time I read for Mike, he gave me one verse. This time, he gave me one chapter. I'm fearful the next time. Chapter 6 of Romans, ladies and gentlemen. Please read along. Sometimes I skip, miss, or whatever. Don't ever trust the reader up here. Read it for yourself. Read God's words and know God's words for yourself. Chapter 6 of Romans. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Jesus Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed of sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom you obey, whether it of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being made free from sin, ye become servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of man because the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanliness and iniquity, I speak after manner of man because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanliness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants unto to righteousness, unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye therein? Those things whereof ye are now ashamed. For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, the everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Well, good morning, church. Appreciate all you folks that got here this morning. I was beginning to wonder if I was going to be preaching to myself. But you know, that's not always bad. Because, listen, you're looking at someone who needs your prayers each and every time we come together and in between. And if I hear my wife say amen, we'll talk about that later. But it's good to look out and see each one that's here, brave the storms. We learned about Jonah in Sunday school this morning. It may have some application this afternoon, I understand, with all this rain we've got coming. I was reading in my book the other day about these announcements that are made during and prior to a service. And the pastor will preach his farewell message. Now, if I hear anybody this morning say amen, I'll talk to you afterwards. But the pastor will preach his farewell message after which the choir will sing, "Break Forth into Joy." Irving, yes ma'am. Irving Benson and Jesse Carter were married on October the 24th in the church. So ends a friendship that began back in their school days. It's amazing how those two words, "I do," sometimes make things, whole situations change. I've seen it. Bertha Belch, I got to tell you this one. Bertha Belch, a missionary from Africa, will be speaking tonight at Calvary Methodist. Come here, Bertha Belch, all the way from Africa. Y'all are great this morning. Y'all get me on a roll here. Announcement in a church bulletin for a national prayer and fasting conference. The cost for attending the fasting and prayer conference includes meals. And one that was applicable almost in Grand Saline the other day, and with this one I'll stop. A sermon this morning, Jesus Walks on Water. The sermon tonight, Searching for Jesus. Will y'all forgive me, please? Never hurts believers to laugh. We serve a good God. I apologize to Terry this morning in that I had a whole chapter for him to read. I'm not getting back at him, but I think that chapter pretty well summarizes the book of Romans, we find as we look into the book of Romans and as we carefully read the book of Romans, about the first 8 verses in the book, in chapter 6 of Romans, it is a recap, if you would. It is a rehearsal of who we are in Christ and what it is that overcomes us as believers in our walk with the Lord to cause us many times to fall short, just like Jonah, to fall short in all that God would have us to do and instruct us to do as His children. So we find these first 8 chapters deal with all individuals' walk with the Lord. Good or bad, those are covered in the first 8 chapters in the book of Romans. We're focusing on this morning Romans chapter 6. Doesn't matter, Jew or Gentile, saved or lost, rich or poor, Paul pretty well covers that in the first 8 chapters of this book that we call Romans. We read in Romans 8:1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walked not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." So we find here, as we begin to look at this thing of what we'll be studying this morning, it's the believers and living in liberty. How do we as believers live in liberty? How is it that we have been set free from not only the penalty of sin, but also the laziness, if you would, of a believer in his walk with the Lord? What is it that causes us so many times to become sidetracked and derailed, this liberty? I have seen many people who, in fact, years ago, I was visiting a home in Fruitvale, was inviting the folks there to church and had their some of their kids in ranch, and I was visiting them in Fruitvale, and it had been a trying time. And I went there to visit with them because I was requested to do that, and so I went. And when I got there, it was about 7:30 in the evening. I called and let them know I was coming. But when I got there, the gentleman there was sitting at his table in the kitchen, and he had a bottle of beer there on the table. And when his wife ushered me into the kitchen where he was at, he took that bottle of beer and put it down sort of in under the table. And I told him, I said, "This is your home. You do what you want to do in your home, whether it's me or anybody else. So feel free to finish your beer." And he did, and we visited, and we talked about the things. He said, "Mike," he said, "I'm a believer. I'm a believer." And he said, "I have liberty as a believer. I have liberty to drink this beer if I choose to." And I said, "Well, I wouldn't disagree with you. This is your home. You ought to be able to do whatever you want to do in your home." And I said, "If that's a beer, have a beer. If it is to read your Bible, read your Bible." But we find as we look into the book of this book or chapter of Romans, we find this thing of legalistic living. And what kind of involvement it has with the same thing that we call slavery. Liberty versus slavery. We find the opposite of liberty is a slavery. And many times it is described as legalism, but it's not legalism, it's slavery. As we look into this book, this chapter this morning, we are going to find out what is the Christian's liberty, biblical liberty, if you would. Biblical liberty, I would suggest to you this morning, is our position in Christ, where we stand in our walk with Him as His children. whether our life is one that brings honor and glory to Him or whether our lives bring shame upon the name of Christ. What is it that causes that shame that we bring upon Christ? I would suggest to you again this morning that that is a form of slavery, if you would. What is the difference? Well, biblical liberty is our position in Christ as a believer. Biblical liberty is our freedom from the bondage of sin and the flesh. We say, oh, but I am that because of Christ's work on the cross. I am free from sin, the bondage of sin and the flesh. May I suggest to you that same chapter in the book of Romans is in opposition, if you would, to 1 John 1:9. If that's your position concerning liberty, our freedom from the bondage of sin in the flesh, biblical liberty, if that's where you stand, we forget that 1 John 1:9. We confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you would, might look with me at Romans chapter 6, or if you would, just listen, verse 20 and 22, for when we were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit hath ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. Servants of sin. We find as believers, we who know Christ as our personal Savior, many times are overcome with this thing of sin in our lives. And when sin is in our lives, we have become, if you would, a kind of slave, not necessarily to everything that is sinful, but to those things that hold us back in our walk with the Lord. In our daily devoted walk with the Lord and the things that we know that He would have us to do, our prayer begins to fall from our routine on a daily basis. Our Bible reading tends to fall from our routine in our daily walk with the Lord where there is sin. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19 says, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. So those things that we have in our lives that we truthfully have to, in front of the Lord Himself, recognize and confess as sin many times causes us to shut our mouth in our daily walk as to what God has done for us. We have become not set free, but we have put ourselves back under the bondage. And that bondage brings silence in our witness for the Lord. That bondage brings the end of our service to the Lord. In our study of the Scriptures, in our desire to see people come to know Christ as their personal Savior. We who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior can have liberty, but practice legalism in the conduct of our lives. How is that? How does that work? May I suggest to you that position and attitude are not the same. Therefore, liberty and legalism are not exact opposites either. In liberty, we have a conduct code that is in agreement with that liberty. Liberty has brought us freedom to be a slave to righteousness. Liberty has brought us freedom to be a slave to righteousness. How does that work? Romans chapter 6, verse 18, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. As we walk with the Lord, or before we begin to walk with the Lord in any significant way, we many times have to battle that old sin nature, which so easily falls prey to the desires of the flesh, to the things of the world, to the ideas of the world, and we find ourselves, we have become under bondage, where Christ has promised liberty. We find Paul writing, and he says then, that being then made free from sin, you've become the servants of righteousness. Christian liberty is not a license to live as we please, but it gives us license to serve the Lord and please God in our daily walk. An ability to live, which we did not have before we trusted Christ as Savior. Before we trusted Christ, we only had that old nature. When we trusted Christ, we had a new birth, the new nature. And in that new nature, liberated living is not unrestricted living. That man who had his beer on the table, he felt like he had liberty in Christ to drink that beer. My position is he has liberty to do what he chooses in his own home, but by the same token, where the boundaries, and what are the boundaries for those of us who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior? This is such a problem within the Christian life. Many times our voices are silenced. Our desire is muted. We are not all that we could be for the Lord Jesus Christ. Biblically restricted living is liberated spiritual living. So what we have here is we have to determine what's the boundary. As we think about that, and as I thought about it this week, I've come to realize that love is the boundary. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, "For brethren, ye have been called into liberty, not only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." What is this love? Well, years ago, as I was preparing a sermon, the subject of which was love and Christian love one for another, I began to think about what is love. Is it that warm, fuzzy feeling many times one person in a couple has for the other, or vice versa, or both for each other? Is it that? Is that love? But what is love? So you'll have to excuse me this morning, but I'm going to give you the definition of love that I came up with at that time many years ago. Love is a total concern without reservation, with a total commitment without exceptions or conditions, for the total well-being and benefit of a person based upon our relationship to that person. Many people, Christian people, think that love is that warm, fuzzy feeling. But does that mean there's not more? There is more in our walk with the Lord, in our love, our scriptural love that we have one for another or should have for one another. I would suggest to you this morning that love can be expressed in acts of correction in order to produce good or prevent wrong. You see, we as parents, we love our children. And if we love our children, we should chastise them. We should call them down. We should even apply the Board of Education to the seat of learning when that is necessary. Correction can be involved to an intimate degree in our love for our family. We should strive for that which is honoring to the Lord. What is good? We talked about what's love, but what's good? Well, believers must realize that the ultimate good must be defined in terms of the will of God. What is the will of God for your life and my life? You know, the will of God for your life might be slightly something different than what His will for my life is, as far as maybe where I should go to serve Him or where I should serve Him in the place that I live. That could be part of that. But what is good? We as believers must decide that ultimate good be defined in terms of the will of God. That's why it's so important to know the will of God for your life. And those guidelines in finding the will of God is found in God's Word. Thus, we need to spend time in God's Word. Thus, love is seeking the will of God in one loved. And Christian liberty is to be restricted by that kind of love. In other words, if we love someone, as a believer, if we love someone, we should stand where the Word of God stands. If there's things in their lives that are not proper and not right, if they're off on a tangent, if you would, in their walk with the Lord, in their service in the local church, we should take stock of that. And we should, in genuine love, according to the definition of love, as we found this morning, go to that individual and talk with them. Correction. I've been corrected in the Word of God. I've been corrected by my wife. I've been corrected by other people in the church where I was off base. We had an instance several years ago, where an individual said, "Why is it that we just can't, no matter what we believe, why we can't go ahead and just get along and love one another?" Well, let me say this. That would violate the very definition of what Christian love really is. We find that love is limited liberty. In 1 Corinthians, we read in verse 13 of chapter 8, "Wherefore, if meat maketh my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend." We find in this verse that both the strong and the weak brother in Christ refrain from eating, even though they do it for different reasons. We find that love, limited liberty, will at times manifest itself in a bad attitude towards the weaker brother. However, the weaker brother could at times have a bad attitude by judging the stronger brother, even for feeling free to do something, whether the stronger brother does it or not. Both are wrong attitudes. You see, Romans chapter 14, verse 3 says, "Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him that which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him." Liberated liberty, folks, this morning is love, limited living. Let me say that again. Liberated living is love, limited living. And this is true spiritual also. The evidence is Christ likeness. Christ, who had freedom limited only by the nature of God, took upon himself the nature of servant in order that he might save you and I. This morning we stand because of Christ's death on the cross. We stand as believers, led by the Holy Spirit in our walk, in our desires, in our weaknesses. God is with us. His liberty was limited by his love for you and I. Our liberty in Him ought to be exhibited daily in a life of service. How do we walk? What does it look like to the unbeliever? Well, we find in the Word of God that the believer and his living in liberty, then and only then do we follow the example of our Lord. When we desire to have people come to know Christ as their personal Savior, we desire to be pleasing unto the Lord Jesus Christ in our walk with Him. When we desire to go where He sends, serve as He served, and minister as He ministered. Romans chapter 15, verses 1 and following. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Not to please ourselves, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased himself. This morning, how are we living? In what manner are we living? Do we have the love, limited liberty that God would have us have? You see, that's the kind of living, and that's the kind of loving that's honoring to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that it's true. It's for us today. We thank you, Father, for your goodness to us, your indwelling Holy Spirit who leads and guides. And Father, we pray that we might take that liberty that we have in Christ to control, Father, those things that would be dishonoring to you in our walk. Father, we'll give you the honor and praise. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.